Tyrell Clark is kind enough to join us, the DFL-endorsed candidate running for 26B. He is our Democrat of the day. Tyrell, thank you very much for the time.
Thank you, Matt. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. And let's start off with who exactly is Tyrell Clark?
Tyrell Clark, currently I'm the mayor of a town in our district called Yota. I've been doing that for 6 years, and before that I was on city council. My wife's a teacher. I've lived in the district almost my entire life, so it's really Tyrell.
Tyrell, and what is your motivation here? Now you're the mayor of what is it, Iota?
Mayor of Yota.
Yota.
Long E.
Yota.
Yep. Yota. Yeah. And you don't hear it a whole lot.
What prompted you to say, you know what, it's time for me to run for a higher office here?
Well, you know, as mayor, you really get a good eye of the impacts at the state level and what happens at your city. And for me, that was really the eye-opening experience that what's going on at the state isn't they could be doing a much better job to help our cities do well, not just our cities, but our schools and our healthcare, and they're just not doing it now. So that's really why I ran.
Is you a little intimidating here? This is a district. I mean, Rochester, as it grows, it's a little more liberal. As a matter of fact, Tina Liebling was on with me back when we were doing the initial governor's races, and she was one of the most liberal politicians I've ever met. As the city grows into this district, how much of it has that been impacting the demographics of 26B?
It definitely has. Probably since the census we had back in 2010 to now, there's quite a few more thousand people in Rochester growing into the district. If you look at the geographical map, you can see that it's creeping farther and farther in. So, I mean, when we come to redistricting, it's going to change. My district will. But for right now, I think it is changing better in my way, if that makes sense.
Oh, it definitely makes sense. And I think that not only when you look at the issues that are priorities to your district, that it's not a big surprise that people are starting to turn away from that Republican brand because it's failed them on a lot of levels. Let's talk about some of the issues you'd like to champion for 26B. Let's start with healthcare, because I know that's something that, I mean, everyone we talk to, regardless of where their district is, metro area, outstate, healthcare, and the failure of the Republicans to follow through on their promise of better healthcare that's more affordable, that has been a key issue for a lot of people.
It really has been. So, full disclosure, I do work at Mayo Clinic. That's my bread and butter. But that being said, you know, we have some of the best healthcare in the state, but it's also some of the most expensive healthcare in the state because of Mayo Clinic and the high quality healthcare they do. So, it's really important for our district that at the state level, we have those programs that will make sure we have affordable healthcare, such as, you know, buying into the Minnesota Care. For entrepreneurs and farmers, that would be a really big deal so that they can have that affordable health care that they're just not having right now.
You said it well there, and it is the case. Our problem isn't the quality of health care. Health care in the United States is the best on the planet. That's why the rest of the world flies here and flies to your district and around your district to come get health care. It's the accessibility issue. And when you have such a unique district where not only do you have a strong medical base, but you also have a strong agricultural base, we've talked about this numerous times. When you're looking at margins of $25,000, $26,000 a year for a farmer, telling them, oh, we need to raise your health care $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, that's really not an option.
It really isn't. And there's some farmers in our state that are paying in the tens of thousands of dollars for their health care. So if we can take, allow them to have that access into Minnesota Care, I think it would really do a good job of helping them be successful long-term financially.
Tyrell Clark joining us right now. 26B is the district. He is Democrat of the day for today. Let's talk more about the ag issues here. We have statewide issues which are there that are pretty important. But I got to tell you the truth, for most of the people we've talked to in outstate Minnesota, when it comes to ag issues, the thing that's terrifying them right now is we have a president on the federal level who's sabotaging our major markets, China and Mexico, pork producers, soybean producers. These are people that are banking on being able to sell their product. And right now, the question is, are they going to even have a market after we get done with this trade war? And, I mean, is that something that's weighing on a lot of the farmers' minds down where you're at?
It definitely is. You know, we have the five big ag areas, well, maybe six if you count poultry, soybeans, corn, beef, dairy and milk. And all those things are getting hit by these tariffs or trade disagreements they're having, even with Mexico and our pork. So, you know, each and every industry, they're all being impacted by these right now, and it is pretty scary.
Do you feel as if there's a way? I mean, I imagine you see some of this directly within the Rochester community. If we were to redirect our attention as a state into buying local, I'll give you a great example of this. There is an orchard that used to be out in very western Hennepin County called I can't remember the name of the orchard, but he used to sell his apples to the local school districts. And I was like, you know, okay, farm to table. I mean, how beautiful is that? And as we go through this, I mean, there are some crops which are not applicable in some capacities, especially crops that are used in more of the processed foods. But do you think that the state could turn around and make initiatives that, you know, to really encourage the buy local from the farmer to offset these potential worries of closed markets on the foreign shores?
I definitely think we could. One of the areas that has really been expanding in our state has been these microbreweries or breweries in general. And we don't have enough hops growing in our state, and that's really one of those areas that could be doing very well if the state figured out ways to help them expand and thrive. So I think there's lots of different markets, be it produce, be it hops, be it whatever, that the state could do a good job supporting these farmers in expanding and diversifying into. But we at the state level need to set the lead on that.
The broadband issue is another one. Republicans have been promising for a decade now, oh, put us in power and we'll get you broadband everywhere. Not only have they not done that, they have done very little, and usually it seems to be associated with vacation homes of certain individuals, which is where the broadband goes. Your district, on one side of it, obviously high tech with Rochester and the Mayo Clinic down there, but I imagine your district is a lot of other districts where it's a patchwork at best, where, yeah, on some sides it's great, but on the other side the kids are having to drive into Rochester to a coffee shop to do homework.
Yeah, so my town itself, we actually have fiber to every home, which is great. But you go a mile outside of town and they're just squeaking by. It's not quite dial-up speeds, but it's holding them back. We definitely have those things. And one of the problems that I've seen at the state capitol is they're always waiting for that next technology to come in and save us, like 5G, whenever that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But for 5G to really work, you still have to have a hub and spoke situation where you have to have fiber to these towns so it can spoke out into the countryside. Mm-hmm. And if we don't get fiber statewide, then it's not really going to happen.
Well, it's so funny you mention it. And by the way, well done, Terrell. You mentioned, I just remember Pat Garofalo saying, I don't want to spend any money on transportation because we're all going to have driverless pods at some point. And I said, when does this happen? You know, like, it's just basically the promise of a future that's not going to develop within 50 years. That's your excuse for not doing anything today. And that's no longer a viable option. You come from a small town. You're mayor of a small town. You yourself can see that if you've got effective broadband, that all of a sudden your town does have some applicability and some desirability for a business at 20, 30 people. I'm going to start a company here. Well, guess what? You can come to your small town and do it because you have the broadband there, which supports the small businesses.
Yeah, and there's a lot of careers out there where you can work from home as long as you have that high-speed internet. And with a lot of these towns, they're losing those entrepreneurs and young adults because they don't have that high-speed internet to do it, and it hurts our schools, it hurts the economy. So being able to bring in broadband to these communities, it doesn't just help those individuals, but it helps the overall economy of your communities.
Well, and then it goes the other way too, whereas once again, you got a lot of towns in Minnesota where the population is either 18 and younger or 55 and older. And, exactly. And you know, what you do is then you give a viability. That person doesn't leave. That's not money that's leaving your town anymore. And it overall, I mean, in the states where they have had expanded broadband out there, you have seen that growth. Even in the smallest towns, you know, 100 people, guess what? A business is opening up there. And that's something which I think that the failures of the Republicans have been has been unforgivable, because let's face it, you know, this is a base infrastructure improvement now. Regardless of how it was started, the state has to step in, like roads, like water, like electricity, and get this done.
It's a basic infrastructure need.
Yeah, absolutely. I was told to ask the question. Apparently, you had a shrimp dinner on Wednesday.
I did. Yes, it was delicious.
was it a church? Now you're just teasing me. Okay.
It was a local church that was celebrating 150 years old.
Nice.
And they're, you know, they're trying something different, and they had shrimp shipped in from the Gulf.
Nice.
And they're still in shell, and they spent all day cooking it up, had some garlic cloves in there, some onions, some sweet corn from our local farms, and some local potatoes, and it was delicious.
Oh, man, does that sound good. And it was, I imagine you got anywhere near the church, and by the way, congratulations on 150 years. Nice run there, that's for sure. Anywhere near the church, I imagine it smelled magnificent.
It did. As soon as you parked, you could smell it. And this church is known for their baked goods, too, so... Like some of the Scotch roux and the other baked goods afterwards were just to die for.
Well, and since you brought it up, let's get our first official sweet corn update. I've not been able to find, you know, I've found some real, you know, spotty sweet corn up here. Is it coming in really nice right now for you guys?
It is. It's coming in really nice. Each week, usually, I do my food stand stop of the day. I think I've done four stops at stands around in the area, and I've been lucky each time. They've been delicious.
Nice. All right. Well, you tell me when they get to 151, tell me. I'll come on down. All right.
Sounds good.
All righty. This is the point where I say, here's the deal, folks. Help your local Democrat. By all means, help your local Democrat. But if you're in a district, which is a relatively safe district, what are you doing to make the blue wave happen? What are you doing? If you're just hoping it happens, that's not good enough. We need to get people out into districts, especially Republican-held districts, and get out there door-knocking, parades. If the county fairs are still going on, getting out there, you know, doing phone banks and writing checks and making donations. I imagine you could use some volunteers over the next few weeks.
Oh, you definitely are right, sir. Phone banking and door-knocking is where it's at. It's where you got to have those conversations at a one-to-one level, and that's really where we'd love to see more volunteers.
How have you been doing on the door-knocking? Have you seen most of the district?
It's a pretty wide district, so we're working on – we've hit each town so far, but, you know, we still got more doors to do and more phone calls to make.
So if people would like to find out more information, what's the website they should go to?
TyrellForHouse.com.
TyrellForHouse.com. And I will put a link on that on the social media pages a little bit later on so that you can go find that. Once again, make a donation or head on down. I mean, a lot of Rochester is not that far away. The Rochester area, 26B, you could easily head on down there for a Saturday or a Sunday, pick up some sweet corn and go and do a few door knocking or make a phone call for a Tyrell Clark. That would be, I think, a fantastic idea. If you can do it, please do. Once again, it's TyrellForHouse.com, TyrellForHouse.com, T-Y-R-E-L, correct?
Oh, that's right. Yep.
T-Y-R-E-L for house.com. 26B, Tyrell Clark is Democrat of the day. Tyrell, thank you very much. I appreciate the time. All my best, my friend.
Thank you, Matt. I really appreciate it.